Alrighty, and for those who are staying up here, Justin, you want to come on up? I think a lot of you probably know Justin Wallerman. Some of you don't, so I'll just give a quick introduction. He asked me to tell you that he's just a guy, but which is true, but... I think I first met Justin a few years ago. We came to a marriage conference, and there were like eight couples from Wyoming, from that Justin had invited, and I think you were a pastor at that time. And I thought, wow, that's cool. And I assumed that these couples were all from his church, and then I come to find out, I think one of them was, or something. I was like, wait a minute. My mouth hit the floor because it's like. If I asked like seven couples from different churches to come to something, they wouldn't do it. But he's just like this people magnet and just gifted it at networking and drawing people. And they just came back from the Scots in Georgia. He's going to tell you about that, doing the marriage skills or connect class there. And they've been doing a lot of that in Wyoming. So. Yeah, it seems like God's using him, so let's hear from Justin.
Oh, you're hooked up. Okay.
All right. I got one strapped to my head. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, it's. I'm grateful to be here. This is one of those places that when my wife and I come here, I feel at home. Like, I'm greeted by people and smiles. I feel like the smiles are real, so that's pretty cool. And hugs, and yeah, thanks for sharing, guys. It sounds like the trip was cool. I heard cool a lot. That's what I would say too. It is a big deal, stuff like that. So I was not raised in the church. I didn't start reading a Bible till I was in my early 20s, and I went through school believing, you know, accident, evolution, Big Bang, you know, all that stuff, which is just not true. So it's a big deal because I do believe the Bible, there is an attack on it, right? I remember going on one of these retreats with some of the M28 folks to the Ark and to the Creation Museum, and there was a few men that shared, and they were talking about, like, does it actually matter what you believe with creation? Does it actually matter the age of things? And they were talking about how, depending on what you believe, it can really begin to undermine all the way to the gospel is what they were saying. When you start to say, I know the Bible says this, but what if it meant this, or maybe this, or maybe this, and then you start to do that down the line, it leaves essentially everything open up in the Bible to say, I know it says this, but what if it actually means this? And I would land in the place that it's important to say, here's what the Bible says. Period. I really appreciated a few Sundays ago at the fellowship we're a part of. This guy Easton, he was teaching in Luke, and he got to this spot where Jesus says, "Hey, you need to like sell your possessions and give to the needy." And he was like, "So what do you think Jesus was actually saying there? Do you think?" Like, what do you think he was actually saying? Do you think he was actually saying that you need to sell your possessions and give to the needy? And he just like paused, and it was just, you know, really quiet. And I would love to be able to like maybe see all the thoughts. And he was like, yes, that's what he meant. You know, he was saying this because that's what he meant. It wasn't something else. So I really appreciate that. So anyway, as Scott said, I'm not normally here, so I think that's important to say. I live in Casper, Wyoming. Yeah, my wife, unfortunately, was not. She's a labor and delivery nurse. She was not able to be here because she's working. So I'm here with my five kids, which is great. And I was telling Scott, or no, Molly, this like trying to strike this balance of, all right, kids, here's how you need to behave. But you're a kid, and I feel like I'm a little more on heads probably just with all the stuff. And I don't actually see any of them, which probably gives me some level of anxiety. But no, I bet they're great. I bet they're great. Yeah, so I'm grateful for that. And I would say I'm going to share a little bit of testimony, just some stuff that's going on with the idea that what I share is the fruit of this place and you guys. And I do mean that. I'm not just saying that. And I hope you can receive that and believe that this idea of being co-laborers. You see that in Scripture, and it's real. it's a real thing. So I hope you can get that. I forget when we met. It was at a marriage. It might have been like 5 years ago. I mean, time is just like. But I met Pat and Cindy and Nathan and Kimberly. Did this marriage thingy that like changed our lives, and then Pat invited us to Perspectives, which I knew about. I wanted to do for a while. And that changed our lives some more, and it was just like, man, we need to bring that back to Casper. And so it's been the fruit of that, and met them through Brian and Hallie Scott. I know a lot of you guys know Brian and Hallie Scott. And so, yeah, give some updates what's going on. This is in our basement. This was on Friday instead of doing kind of the Halloween thing. We do this thing where kids – put up their tents and they decorate them. It's supposed to be like this little mini feast of the booths, and they decorate them. They do eat candy a lot. So like yesterday, you know, they were a little different than they normally are. But it's great, and we just talk about God's provision and his faithfulness and how he now through his Holy Spirit, you know, tabernacles with us. It's great, and they really look forward to it every year. I mean, they count down, they're just so excited. Could be the candy, but they like the tents and decorating them, and it's really great. So these are some good friends of ours. I know some of you guys know them, Mike and Milani Cece, and then their kids. We got Trip, Lily, and Rema, and then there's the guy on the far left and the guy on the far right. These are some fellow Marines. So Mike Cece was a Marine. Really amazing testimony what God's done in his life. These are some people that they recently hosted. He started this little organization ministry called Soldiers to Shepherds with a high focus on those who, you know, veterans. And I'll tell you, he's gifted with it. I've noticed I was never in the military. And I've noticed as I make an attempt with some veterans, I mean, once they find out I was not in the military, it's just like, and then Mike talks to them and they just like open up, which is a huge blessing. And they've really stepped into that. And actually the man on the, this is what they asked me to share actually, on the far right, this man Estrada, he's now, Mike says he's now walking with Jesus. And he's meeting with Mike through a Zoom call on a weekly basis. Essentially, this man just called up Mike, needed, just struggling, and was like, "Hey, I thought of you. Could I like come visit you?" And you know, they're always opening up their house. So super grateful for them. Fruit of this place. We started teaching the Connect marriage skills training in Casper, and they did it. And I'm sorry if I repeat myself. That's just my thing. And I think it can be good sometimes. Mike, I remember early on as we were walking through it, I would see him and he'd be like, "Hey, what'd you do this weekend? I did this or that." And he'd be like, man, that's really awesome. I'm so happy that you got to do that. It just makes me glad that, you know, you got to experience that. And then he would pause. He'd be like, you see what I'm doing there? This was a man, he was trained this way, but, man, he receives things and he does them. And you see the fruit of that in his life. I know very few people. I couldn't speak highly enough of Mike. There's very few people I've met in my life that when you share scriptural just ways of how you should be, very few people I know receive it like him and implement it right away. And you see the fruit of it. So this is in the building, our church building in the basement. This is a perspectives class that is going on right now. We hosted the first one, I think, ever in Wyoming last year. And then, praise God, and we got finished. And people are like, hey, do you think we should do another one right away? And I was like, man, I think we should wait a year. And they're like, no, I think we should do it right away. I was like, great. Go for it, you know. And so grateful this team from people that took that perspectives course are now leading this perspectives course. I think there's like 27 or 28, wide range of people, multiple churches, and a lot of young people, which I'm really grateful for. And actually one of them, this young man, Taylor, he's on the coordinating team. Leading this, I get to work with him. We actually have multiple young men that work where I work that when I was a youth pastor, they were in youth group, and now I'm their boss. No, it's a blessing. I get to work with them, and I get to see them get married and have kids and make some attempt to disciple them, and I'm so grateful for it. But Taylor, he's really all in on this, and he sent me a text. I asked him, I was like, dude, what would you share? And he never shared anything with me. But late last night, I got a text from him about perspective. So I do want to read this because it's the testament of perspectives. I can't speak highly enough about perspectives. For whatever reason, perspectives is something that God uses, and I don't work for perspectives. I've seen the fruit of it in my life, in others' lives. And if you have not taken it and you have an opportunity, I would just really encourage you to do it if you're on the fence. It is a commitment. I'm not going to lie. There's, depending on the level you take, I don't like reading. So I was like, good Lord, this is so much reading. But you get what you put into it. I'll say that. You get what you put into it, and you will not regret it. But here's what he says, how it impacted him. Skip the fluff. All right. He says, I would say that the perspectives course has given me more of a heart posture towards the glory of God than ever before in my life. And this is a missionary kid, by the way, this kid. The course has also shaped many of my daily habits to think more towards the purpose of God. I've noticed my prayer life includes more vulnerable questions of how God would use me for his purposes, regardless of life circumstances. I've also noticed my speech and actions gradually changing to reflect more of God's heart for the nations. I find that I realize more often how blessed I am and make a point to say so. He didn't say this. One thing I saw from him is this concept of blessed to be a blessing. And he has really, he's really engaged in that. He says, my actions are less hesitant and more sure of doing something that I know would please God, like engaging with other cultures and beliefs. Being a part of a perspectives coordinating team has reinforced and deeply encouraged my desire to be part of God's global purpose. Coordinating with other team members has, as well as speakers, has truly shown me how God can use anyone to accomplish his global purpose. My heart for everyone taking the perspectives course is to come with a humble heart that they might hear and receive what God would reveal to them through speakers and the material. In the end, I believe and have seen God move more powerfully in the hearts of everyday people to strive towards and follow after him with more passion and zeal than ever before. So, amen to that. And I won't add anything to that. Let's mess it up. All right. And then, so this is a picture from, I'll butcher these names. So we just got back a few weeks ago from the Republic of Georgia, visiting Brian and Hallie and Lainey Scott. This is a Haltzake, I think is, I don't know. I'm not even going to try. But we're like close to 6,000 feet right here, this picture. And it just gives you a picture of the vastness of this place. The mountains, you can see the little village down there. But my wife and I, we were blessed to be invited to go visit them, teach a marriage skills class there for missionaries. There we had some missionaries that had been kicked out of Russia, some missionaries from Russia, missionaries from Belarus, some other on their team, and then some singles that were on their team as well. It's kind of a 3-day course, and it was a blessing. We somewhat co-taught it with another couple that had been missionaries in Tajikistan for like 20 years, raised like five, six kids, really awesome couple. And I would say a little sidebar, in talking about the relational training and this idea of oneness, right? It's what Jesus prayed to the Father. He prayed that believers would be one in the same way that him and the Father are one. And he says, this is how the world will know that you sent me and that you love them in the same way that you love me. So you see this this aspect of reaching the world in how we portray our oneness as believers to the world. Don't minimize it. It's a thing. I mean, Jesus said it, but I've seen it just more and more. And Jonathan, this missionary that was in Tajikistan, he was sharing that. He said what he came to find with these Muslims that would somewhat be drawn to them, and then apart from even, you know, them having dreams, Jesus giving them dreams, but them believing, is the common thing he heard is they were drawn to how the team and how they loved one another. So, I mean, you know, there it is. You know, you can have all these strategies, and here it is. How we love, I mean, Jesus said it, how we love one another, this idea of oneness. So I would just encourage you to never minimize that. But what God had showed me there is this, I'm looking at this, and, right, he taught in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And so I'm standing there looking at this, and it's just like, man, what gives people the right, the reason to move, to go live somewhere else and do this? I mean, Brian and Hallie, I mean, anybody, or go visit. Like, what gives them the right to do this? And Jesus' authority plays a huge role in that. I mean, you look at this, that village down there, the tops of the mountains, man, Jesus has authority over it all. And this is just a tiny dot, you know, a tiny dot on a map. But when you look at what he shared in Matthew 28, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I had commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This beginning aspect of authority is really important. It's essential, I would say, to the Great Commission. But when Jesus said this, I mean, imagine you're there, you know, one of these early disciples. Do you think this would have changed or affected the trajectory of their lives? I mean, what do you think? Obviously, they've been living through this. Now he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He's going to be gone, but he says, I'm going to be with you. Man, it would set the trajectory of their lives, purposes, how they made decisions. I mean, their hope, what they would actually teach others. It would give them purpose, authority, courage, even permission to obey this, right? And once again, it's one of these things that causes people to go or decide, hey, this is worth it, or at least play a role in this. I remember before Brian left, I remember when Brian first shared, like, hey, Brian and I used to work with each other. And I remember him sharing, I'm leaving. And I'm going to start working toward this to go serve some people group somewhere. We were at a conference together, and like these people didn't talk to each other, but all these speakers, like three of them, talked about Isaiah 6 and like, who will go for me? And it was just like over and over, and the people would get up and joke, like, well, yeah, I'm going to teach on Isaiah 6. And then the next guy, oh, turns out I'm teaching on Isaiah 6. So it was just like, I'm glad I wasn't one of them. The third guy, like, what do I talk about? But here's Brian. I mean, he's like, I got to go. You know, God has called me. So this is the first picture I actually took from Georgia. I waited so long. I don't know why. But this is from the balcony of Brian and Hallie's little apartment up on the 9th floor. And, yeah, this is Mattoome. That's a crazy place. But talking about authority, right? All authority has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. And it's essential to understanding the Great Commission. And I would say early on, just to share this, to be transparent, I really wrestled with that. Like, is it really for me? Or was it just for the early disciples? I don't know if anyone's ever wrestled with that, but I'll just admit, I have. Because it's like, man, he was like talking to the disciples, so why would it be, you know, why would it be for me? This is early on, you know, was it only for the early believers? Did it disappear after, you know, 10 years? Did it disappear after 100 years? Did it disappear after 1,000 years? Why is it not a main theme in the New Testament letters? Like this main theme of this is what you need to be doing. I think it was just known, right? But this idea of authority transcends this time. Does he still have authority today? Yes, he does. He still has authority today. So guess what? This still stands, right? Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. He has dominion. He's worthy of worship. He's the judge. He's at the right hand of the Father. And as we heard, the people that went to Moab, people are going to face him one day. Like, that's going to happen. Everyone's going to face him one day. And so, I forget who shared, what are we going to do about it? So this is a picture I took landing into Istanbul in Turkey. And you can't tell, but from this one picture, I could count from the window 13 mosques, actually. They always have this tower. They stick out. They're super obvious, but 13 mosques. But here we are flying in. Jesus has authority there. And just talking about his authority, I just want to read a couple verses. Philippians 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Amen. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here we learn he's exalted. His name is above every name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Jesus has been given authority, and he still has authority today. So this picture here, this was a cool experience, and you really get to see, man, the way Brian loves people, and he wants the best for people. And after the training, we took a few days, and he showed us some things, and man, it was such a blessing. We got to experience some really cool things that I like really high. And it's, and my wife's jam. It is my wife's jam. She was just, she was loving it. But this is this old fortress, like 13th century fortress, that's built up into these rocks. And we hiked up this, well, we tried to drive. We ended up breaking a trailing arm on the car. So we didn't get very far, but we hiked up and around and got to go up in there, and it was super, super awesome. But Ephesians 1, that he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So once again, Jesus has been given authority. It's true today. And I will say this, when I would share the Great Commission, or what we call the Great Commission, I never shared about his authority. I never did. I was just like, you know, he said that we should make disciples. I might add in, we should make disciples of all nations. And I would end there. But he said, you know, all authority has been given to me. And he says, therefore, all authority has been given to me, therefore. So for this reason, my authority, go do this thing. And I would just encourage you and challenge, like, to guard against simplifying what Jesus said and just boiling it down to making disciples. That's what we do. But I now, when I share the Great Commission, I always start with his authority. It's the reason he gave. So this picture was this old castle that you could like stay in, and there's dogs everywhere, which Hallie and Lainey just, you know, loved. I mean, they could be just the gnarliest looking dog you've ever seen in your life, and they're just like, ah, and I'm like, all right, no hugs. Well, this was like way up top where they fly the flag, but right there you see a mosque right there on the left. And what was really neat over the years, and this is what really has changed the culture there, like you see all the different types of architecture, you know, in this castle over the years. But Jesus said also, make disciples of all nations. And so once again, I would say let's guard against just saying, make disciples. He says, make disciples of all nations. And this idea of making disciples, right? We want people that say, I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. We're not, I mean, we seek maturity, but at this moment, we're not also looking for perfection, right? But we are looking for people, for learners, followers, those who want to follow Jesus. But then this idea of all nations, these different people groups, ethnic groups, and that's a neat thing you see with perspectives, is you become very heightened to that idea of all nations, tongues, tribes. And as you start to read through the Bible and the Old Testament, that idea is like, it's everywhere. It's like I've seen it, but now it's like everything I read, I'm like, oh yeah, all nations, all peoples, all tongues, all nations, all peoples, all tongues. And so this area we were at in Georgia is actually the, it's the Autonomous Republic of Ajara. So we're in Georgia, but there's this area, and this would be Brian and Hallie's group. And it is a separate group. I mean, just the fact that they have their own autonomous republic in Georgia. So the capital of Georgia is Tbilisi. The capital of this republic is Batumi. And these Ajara people, I mean, this extends, well, it does extend not the republic, but the people into northern Turkey. But as you start to drive through the mountains, you start to see the difference. You start to see all these villages, and these people are different. And these villages are primarily Muslim. And I would say it was really exciting to get to see, man, okay, the task. But this could happen. And it's also really hard. like where people build their places is like, what a hard place to build a house or to have a village. And like even, you know, you're so high up and it does snow, and like they have these schools that are big enough where the kids throughout the week in the wintertime, they stay there all week and then go home on the weekend because it's just so like, it's so challenging. It's so difficult. So, yeah. He wants us to make disciples of all nations, right? The goal is people from every people group worshiping the name of Christ. That's the task. And you have permission to do that, by the way. He gives you permission to play a role in that. So this picture here, this was actually at the backside of that castle or that fortress I had shown built into the rocks. And you can see on the rock, that's wax from these little candles. And so religion there is so confusing. It's in syncretism, it's just, you can't even get a clear explanation what is actually going on there. But they have these little candles that they'll pray with, and they'll like stick them on in this idea of like protecting these areas, claiming areas, keeping spirits away. You don't see that scripturally. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. And so we would see these candles, and then, or they would use like Sharpie to draw like a cross. So you'd like open up a window and they'd be like, oh, there's a black Sharpie cross. Like somebody was here to like, claim this area. Got a few slides left. I clearly don't know what I'm doing. Okay. But then he says baptizing and teaching obedience, right? And I know it's taught here. It's not head knowledge, right? Head knowledge, you can have all the knowledge in the world, and if you don't implement it, it does you no good. And so, once again, guarding against simplifying Jesus' words, right? I used to say, yeah, he said, make disciples and teach them what he commanded. And that's not what he said. He said, teaching them to obey or observe what I commanded, not simply, hey, here's what he said, but man, we need to teach people. What does this look like? We need to model it. So understanding the task of what he asked us to do. So when we talk about what did Jesus command, I mean, here's a really short list. Love God, people, baptism, forgiveness, repentance, generosity, service, humility, prayer, and then the thing that he just commanded. you know, you don't skip that one, which was teaching those things. And so really focusing on obedience. This is a picture of this, you know, there's a lot of shepherds, and there's this tiny white dot. It's a dog, but it's a giant dog. They're huge. And they got these huge collars with these spikes on them, like, to, like, protect against wolves, I guess. That's a tough dog. But he knows the task. That dog does. He knows the task. I'm here, and I'm going to guard this place, and I think the cows know the task. Eat, get bigger, prepare for death, and do what the dog says. Stay near the dog because he will protect us. But yeah, it's important that we know the task. But then we have this great promise that Jesus is with us, he said, until the end, right? It's not like this tag team thing like, all right, I'm leaving. I'm tagging you in. You know, good luck. No, he said, here's the task. And guess what? I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. Amen. And he sends us in the same way. That's what he said. I'm sending you in the same way that I was sent. And Jesus actually talks about when he was sent, he says that he was not left alone. How cool is that? He said, I was not left alone when I was sent. And then here he's saying, I'm sending you and I'm not leaving you alone. And we want to be sent in the same way that he was sent, right? He understood the task, and he did it with obedience. He did it with oneness with the Father. He did it in service. He was highly He was highly focused in what he was doing, and he did it with joy. And so, you know, that's my prayer, is as we follow Jesus and what he has us do, that we, man, how cool would that be? Man, we did it obediently, with oneness with each other and with the Father and with Christ, service, focus, and joy. And this is a picture. There's this huge, like, I mean, we're way up there. And like all the way across, you can see that little village there. Somehow you get there. There's some way to get over there. It was not where we were at, though. There was some other way of getting there. And then lastly, I would just say own the mission. This idea of, you know, us being co-laborers is a thing. And some stay, and some go. But I would just encourage us, you know, continue. And hear me say this, like, I see the fruit. And I'm so grateful for you guys and the stories. And it exists. And just please continue to do it. You know, God is pleased with this. Even if you stay, like, there's still a mission to own, and you can still play a role, right? Prayer, giving, care, and encouragement. I can't stress it enough. You see it when you're over there. It's not easy to be over there. It's not easy to be away from what you would have called home. It's difficult. It begins to take its toll. And I remember someone sharing, we had visited Brian and Hallie right before they went into Russia. They had just moved to Estonia. And some other missionary was like saying, like, oh, man, there's a great reward in heaven for Justin in summer. I'm like, what? Like, because we got to go to Estonia? You know, it was a blessing. And I'm just saying, don't undermine or underestimate. Just care, phone calls, stepping in into people's world. And once again, you have permission to join his mission, to care about what God cares about, whether you're here or you're there. And here's this picture looking over the Black Sea across what looks like clouds in the top picture. Those are the Greater Caucasus Mountains, that area. A zoomed in, pixelated phone picture. Pretty amazing. But you are co-laborers, and I remember Brian sharing that about us when we got back, and I kind of, like, resisted it, like, co-laborers? Really? Maybe false humility? I don't know what it is. But man, receive it. It's a thing. And here's a little final thing. First, this picture. This is looking over that, the autonomous republic of Ajara. And this is a quote from Lainey when she was 8 years old. Dad, I think when God comes to live in your heart, he brings his love for the whole world with him. So keep praying, keep encouraging, keep doing what you're doing. God is using it, and I'm so grateful for it. So that's what I have for photos and speaking. I'm going to ask this awesome couple to come up, Lionel and Katie and Shira. That is a super cute baby. Like, yeah. They've been here for a couple months hanging out with Pat and Cindy. I got to talk to them for a little bit. They're really great, but just they're going back to France, to Marseille. And I mean, there's a lot in that, you know, been here few months and now excited to go back home, and can see their faces, can pray for them, but I want to end our time praying for them. Sound good? All right. Yeah, Father God, we do thank you for Christ. We thank you for his modeling, his life, his sacrifice that makes this all possible, Lord. And we see the task. We hear the task. We thank you for calling us to join you in that. And we just ask for your continued grace and help in that. I pray for Leonel and Katie, their little baby Shira, as they head back to France, Lord. I do pray that you would obviously be with them, Lord. We pray for your grace. We pray for your encouragement, your sustaining in their lives, your direction, your voice. And in speaking to them, we pray that the things that they've been learning here, that you would allow those things to, I guess, really take root in their lives and begin to be, I guess, more natural in who they are, and allow them to see the fruit, and Lord, allow them to remember the testimony even that they've heard here as they go back. And we do ask that you would bless their work there as well as they work with this the Jewish minority community and all the challenges that go with that. So Lord, give them wisdom, help them love each other and other people really well, that would be seen, and that would be a draw, as we hear so often, Lord. But we're grateful for them. Go before them, keep them on our minds. We can pray for them as well, Lord. We give you the glory this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.